It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, my life has changed. Probably for the worse.
For the worse?
Yes. I think this will be the death of me.
What?
I think so. I think I have begun the process which will result in my untimely death.
That's probably true for all of us. Whatever we've done today.
Just today. It's just the day for it.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, it didn't happen today.
Oh, okay.
It happened yesterday.
Some special thing.
Yes.
And what is that?
I went into Trader Joe's for the first time ever.
Okay. And...
It was not what I expected.
Well, the first time I went into a Trader Joe's, it wasn't what I expected either. But it that meant for me, I never went back into one.
Yeah, no, that's not what this means for me.
What's it mean for you?
When I went into a Trader, when I was expecting a Trader Joe's to essentially be a Whole Foods or a chain version of our local co-op.
That's what kind of what
which
I was expecting
which
too.
Basically means a lot of very rarefied, dietarily specific, and expensive foods.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected.
What happened instead is that it's just a lot of like cool and fancy shit that's super tasty, and it's remarkably well priced.
I mean, I guess, but nothing I wanted.
No, but everything I want. This is my problem. This is the fat, educated man's Walmart. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm insulting a lot of people in that. But, like, just a lot of tasty, not necessarily at all healthy, but, like, imported or just created. Like, they had jars of, like, autumnal squash soup and stuff. But just all sorts of shit like this and, like, cool beers and stuff like that. All for perfectly reasonable prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to probably eat a lot of things from there and die.
Well, I mean... Okay, there's nothing I want there, but I didn't see anything there that was, like, particularly bad for you.
No, I'm just gonna... It's just all tasty. This is a quantity issue.
Okay.
This is not... There is not particularly unhealthy food at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
There is a lot of food I want to eat.
Okay.
And it's going to cost less than I thought it would.
So you'll buy more of it.
And eat it.
Okay.
Yes. And die.
Well,
no,
hope you don't
it was
die.
Nothing like I thought.
Well, me neither, but...
I was surprised. And I've eaten things from Trader Joe's before.
Mm.
And, I mean, they must be in a mix amongst that, because I've had ones that are like, you know, oh, this is the gluten-free whatever. But a lot of it's just, no, the fancier version.
Yeah.
Or the artisanal version. But it was still, like, regular shit that was tasty.
Mm.
The fancy mixed nuts has macadamias in it, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the refrigerator sushi has three different dipping sauces, like that kind of stuff.
Mm.
We got a grape medley, which was a container of grapes that had black, green, and red grapes. We kind of did an indoor picnic thing last night, was why. So we went there to do it. And it was lovely.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Then today I ate Popeye's chicken, so.
Is that bad?
I mean, I feel like John Oliver put it best. He said, it is objectively terrible food, and I would kill my own mother to get my hands on some. Like, yeah, it's really bad. And it's really good.
Okay.
Like, I love it. But my body afterwards is always like, how could you? tasty. Some of the tastiest biscuits on the fast food market. Which is saying something, because there's a lot of decent biscuits out there.
There really are.
I feel like Popeye's biscuits are a perfect mix of KFC and Hardee's, like, blended together.
Really?
Yeah.
That does sound good.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world. It's really starting to get to be a pain in the ass. Welcome to 6 different episodes that we're going to do over the next 3 weeks in random order.
Yeah, I hope we don't. I'm going to forget something.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 448.
He gets that one right.
Which, I think that means that episode 500 is going to be around now, next year.
Because 52.
Yeah.
I see how you did.
Yeah.
Math.
Either it'll be like this same week or it'll be the next week. I guess I haven't figured it out.
All right.
So now we know when episode 500 is going to be. Sometime in October.
Woo.
Are you ready?
No, but I've got a year. So.
You got a year.
Definitely right. Not ready, but I'll figure it out.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're coming up on 3 weeks where we can't record. So, and we've got 3 weeks before that starts. So, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing 2 episodes a night. We'll do the one for the day we are recording so that we can keep up relatively with our current sure. events. And then we'll also do the one for 3 weeks later.
3 weeks later.
Yes. So later tonight, we're going to record the Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah.
So when the dead rose and shit later in the month, we won't have known about that.
Nope.
When we post that episode.
So hopefully we'll get everything right anyway, coincidentally.
And yeah, we both, I think, have plans on that day. But we should save that for the next episode to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in an hour.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is going to suck. Anyway. I'm going to explain the show. I'm not going to explain the show in the second one, which means
there's not going to be an explanation of Halloween.
Is that how that works? Or should I? Is it next week I don't explain it at all? No, I feel like they're tied together. So people listening on Halloween have to go back and listen to this episode. All right. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. Its own currently empty email address, people.
Mm.
TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Empty. Folks who care even a little at all. Folks who ever loved either of us.
Ever.
Ever.
Even if you don't anymore.
Yes.
If you ever did.
I think especially if you don't anymore. You owe us. Folks, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little comments, notes, topics, questions, things like that.
Brief.
You don't have to take a lot of time. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its encumbered servants, draw the note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
You know, all of this time, we've kind of gotten used to the magic. It doesn't even impress us anymore. Do you know?
Of a northern sun. Sorry, I got distracted. I wasn't impressed from the beginning.
I was kind of at first, but now I don't. It's like, yeah. It's just magic.
Was it raining when you drove over?
Off and on, it was.
Yeah, it can't make up its mind now. We've had a week of decent weather, I would say.
Sure.
I've liked it a great deal.
Yeah.
Cool at night, warm in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's starting to rain. And tomorrow night, it may freeze.
Yep.
The hell?
Well, I mean, that's not that... I mean, it's kind of like a...
For the time of year, it is not surprising. For the suddenness, I find it surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a... It's just... It's like a hard freeze or what... Like, it's for people who have plants out
or something.
They need to take care of them.
Well, and I think... I don't know that we'll turn on the heat necessarily, but I think we'll close the house.
Yeah.
And we may... Also, the step in between is we may turn on the heat long enough for it to get up to the temperature we set the heater at and then turn it off again so that the inside just is brought up to temperature.
Mm.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes tomorrow night.
No, we haven't turned our heat on yet this year, but it's coming up.
Yep, the kitties are starting. We did turn on, so there's a body pillow through the middle of our bed that the cats sometimes lay on. And in the winter, we did it mostly for Twiglet because he was really skinny at the end and needed the warmth. We put a heating pad in the pillowcase, and we turned that on about a week ago, and Ezzy is in heaven now, and she lives on that pillowcase.
Mm, that's a pretty good idea.
It's not bad, and I like it because it can get really cold, even when I have like multiple pillows and stuff, because our house is poorly made. But if it's right next to me, that can sometimes help, and I can sort of lay against it or whatever. It's not a bad setup. And it's, well, I should say, it's not a normal heating pad. It's a pet heating pad. It's one of those that is pressure activated. So, like, when we're out or whatever, it's not doing anything. But if somebody lays on it, it does it. And it doesn't take much, but it's enough that if nobody's in there, it's not just heating all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah. We also have a kitty bed that's like that, too. It's a cat. It's a little round cat bed. And it's also pressure sensitive. So that they lay in it, it warms up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't fit in that one, but you know.
Right.
How has your... Is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
Wow, it has been, huh?
It's definitely been more than 1 week. Why couldn't we do it last week?
Because I went to see Joker.
Oh, I wondered if that was what it was. I knew you went to see something. Oh, man. I feel like we got to start with that one. I will never see that movie for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
I'm very curious to your take on that movie for a variety of reasons.
Well, it was... I had a reason to be... We went to see it in the mall, you know, in Coralville.
Yeah.
And I had a reason to be in the mall early, so I was just going to, as soon as the theater opened, I was going to get the tickets.
I see.
And there were police there already.
Ah.
Like at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just ready to be there for the matinees.
And meanwhile, you were a lone white guy, so you got arrested.
No. I finally got tickets, and when we went at the 5:45 show, there were two police officers there. There were new procedures about, there were security procedures about going into the theater. You couldn't have bags that were too big.
Did you pack your popcorn yourself, sir?
We didn't have anything that we weren't supposed to take in there.
Only 3 ounces of pop.
I think that there were two officers, and I think they were both genuinely concerned that something was going to happen. I mean, they said, I said something like, how are you, or whatever, or how are things going, or something, and one of the officers said, well, so far, so good. Like, he really was worried about it. The crowd wasn't huge for the showing that we saw. And of course nothing happened, but
it did make number one at the box office.
Yeah, it did. The film was, Joaquin Phoenix did a really good job acting wise. I mean, it was, you know, lots of things I've seen him in. He's very good.
Yeah.
And he was really good in this. I have to give some credit to the director also, because there was there's a definite arc, his behavior transforms. I mean, a lot of people don't think about that, but a lot of times when you have a movie, even though there's a character arc for the character doesn't actually change that much.
Yeah.
I mean, their situation does, but they're acting pretty much the same all the way through. When you have a situation where a character is practically a different person before the end, that's tricky to direct, right?
Yes, yes.
You're shooting everything out of order, and so the actor and the director both have to know, okay, this is the part, you know, this is where you are now. And it has to look smooth, and it has to look like it makes sense, and it totally did. So I have to give the actor and director credit on that score. I didn't see anything in the film that I thought necessitated the controversy, really. I mean, it seemed like an ordinary movie, really. Like, lots of movies like it, and nobody's guarding those movies, so I didn't really understand. Except that I guess there was some kind of threat made, or they thought there was a credible threat.
No, I believe the thing that really tipped it off is that the military warned its members that it was a movie that basically could cause trouble for people already having depressive or suicidal feelings.
Mm.
The controversy, as I understand, I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover here. I said long time ago, didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
Because Joker's been done. The Joker is a fascinating villain that has been done six ways from Sunday. And I did not think I could find anything new here. And also, the Joker is a very disturbing villain. So I don't necessarily want to wring every last drop of crazy out of it. Mm. But I also felt this was not going to tread any new territory. The controversy largely appeared to at least start with, this is a movie showing an individual and a life path that is not larger than life or unusual in the current environment, and in fact is very sympathetic to a lot of individuals out there. And obviously, I mean, I went and read about it later, but by dint of the fact that the end product is the Batman villain, the Joker, could be seen as glamorizing it. Could be seen as showing it essentially in a positive light. To counterpoint, there is a horror movie coming out called Cuck. That is literally a guy living in his parents' basement, getting fed up that women won't date him and all this, them doing terrible things. That movie very clearly is not sympathetic towards that character and shows him as a horrific monster. The argument here was that this movie, again, I think, by virtue of the fact that the end result is a famous and popular supervillain, was showing this in a potentially positive light when this is an actual real-life thing that could and is happening with young people today. It was not helped by the, frankly, confrontational and antagonist response from its director, who in particular went on a rant about how he decided he wanted to do this because, thanks to woke culture, you can't do comedy anymore.
Hmm.
Epilogue note, from my perspective of it, I have read some things explaining how, the quality of the movie itself aside, it is a poor movie for the Joker. It is a poor movie. It is not a good representation or story to be told about that character. And along those lines, the director also apparently at some point didn't want to make a Joker movie. He wanted to make a different movie and figured out he could make it into a supervillain movie.
Yeah, that I heard.
And so, I mean, I suppose that's a level as well. I have had very little personal interaction with people who have seen it. The closest I got was somebody who said it was not nearly as disturbing and violent as they expected, and in fact, Dark Knight was more so, but that it was very, very sad.
Well, there was no incel angle at all. At all. That was not in it at all.
Well, having read the synopsis, I think at least the subplot with his neighbor.
Don't think so. I mean, to me, an incel, the incel thing is a very specific thing. And there's no point in the film where he, or even any context, suggests that he is specifically feels like he's involuntarily celibate. There's nothing that suggests that. There's nothing that suggests that. Yeah, I mean, I know what the thing.
Well, and I know that incel is short for involuntary celibate,
yeah.
But there is sort of a broader sense of that term. It's essentially men who believe they are owed something from women or a woman.
Again, nothing like that.
All right, that's the synopsis I read did not play off that way.
Well,
I mean, there's sort of a twist to it that I don't want to give away. but it still felt like that sort of angle. That, no. Hey, you smiled at me one time, therefore you should be my girlfriend.
More, you smiled at me one time, I like thinking about you being my girlfriend. Not, you know, not, no, not the other thing at all. There's also no sense of, there's no process of so-called radicalization or whatever people are saying is going on with young people these days. It's straight up this guy. Now, mental illness is part of it, as everyone probably knows, just from seeing the trailers. And I suppose there's that angle, you know, because in a lot of, you know, mass shootings that we hear about, we find out that, oh, you know, the person had problems that maybe weren't getting addressed or whatever. But I mean, that there was nothing about the film that immediately sort of popped out to me as, oh, this is a parallel to anything going on in the real world. It was, especially since the whole thing was contextualized as a, as joke, you know, as an origin story for Joker, which, as much as that might have been an afterthought for the director, it actually flowed pretty well in the story. I mean, it fit pretty well, and some of it tied in with specific actual comic book stories about the Joker. You know, like in, as we all know from the trailer, that he wants to be a comedian You know, that's something
that is one of his origin stories.
Yeah, that's one of his origin stories.
Joker has like seven of them.
Is the theme of the film wasn't, but the theme wasn't even really so much a mental illness. It was a class struggle, really, to the extent that just about everything else was like there wasn't anything else. Like there was nothing in it that this is supposed to take place in 1981 in, you know, fictional Gotham City, obviously. And a lot of the things you could have talked about when it comes to 1981 were not talked about. There was nothing that even indicated any particular racial issues or gender issues or anything like that. It was all like completely focused on class. There were political things, but I don't think the words Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal were even used ever.
Oh, I'm sure they
were.
The
whole thing.
Been,
But it did present a world. I mean, the 1% I think were mentioned, and I guess by at least by logical extension, the 99% or the elites or something. There was definitely a 1%, whether that was said or not. That was definitely there, and there was everybody else. But everybody else was portrayed as being, you know, very angry and violent, and they were inspired.
Yeah, sort of turned him into a folk hero of
sorts.
Yes,
right. Yes, right. But I don't think we in the audience were supposed to, you know, think that was a good thing. I mean, but I do understand how a disturbed person might watch the movie and get that idea, I suppose. But it seemed pretty straightforward to me. Again, this film had a lot of stuff in it that I see in other films. I wasn't sure why this one stood out as one. I mean, the only thing I ever heard about this film specifically was, well, the Aurora shooter seemed to think the Joker was, you know, seemed to be celebrating the Joker and his crime. But I mean, we've had a movie with the Joker in it since then, and nobody seemed to worry about that.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, people are making a lot of varying arguments. I think the thrust of a lot of them, because the director, again, was very big on, like, nobody freaked out over John Wick. That was his big push constantly. And I think the argument is movies like John Wick and a lot of very violent movies out there are, I mean, it's the thing like talking about cartoon violence again. They're over-the-top, ridiculous, clearly fantasies. And the implication being that people felt this movie was a very realistic situation, essentially.
I see.
That this is something that could happen and could happen now, and again, was shown in a somewhat arguably positive light.
Okay, but like look at certain series like the 13 what was that one about suicide?
13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a fantasy. That was portrayed as something that could happen or would happen or did happen, and this is what a person thought about and recorded beforehand. Nobody's, I mean...
I think a lot of people were bothered by 13 Reasons Why.
I was. But
I didn't want to go anywhere.
But it didn't get... I mean, there wasn't... There was discussion about it. There wasn't any outrage about it, really, that I recall. And there are other shows that portray violent things. John Wick's a terrible example, as you just pointed out, because it's fantastical. This was realistic, right? And this was something they were trying to show you how it could actually happen.
And maybe that's part of... Maybe it's a realistic portrayal of a Batman villain that people objected to. Because if you take away the aspect that it was the Joker, a lot of movies exactly like this have been made, and many of them are considered masterpieces.
Well,
they're considered horrific masterpieces.
Do you think if it hadn't been a Joker movie and it's just otherwise the same, that people would have had the same response to it?
No, not necessarily. But in both directions, I don't think it would necessarily have had as much success or as much buzz. Controversy stirs that, and the Joker is popular. I also think if it hadn't been the Joker, I could have been tricked into seeing it. I think I would have been very unhappy having seen it. I think I would have been sorry I'd seen it and not liked it. But I think if it hadn't been the Joker, I might have I might have ended up going to see it, not realizing what was happening.
Well, I don't... Yeah. My experience with the film was very different than apparently everybody else's. My wife...
You should not be surprised.
My wife liked it. And I was... You know, I didn't know how I felt about it.
Well, like I said, the people I have heard from actually liked it. But most of the people I know who probably wouldn't like it, like me, are not going to see it.
And I did... I thought it was a very strong Joker story, actually. I thought...
I should send you that article, because there was one that just said, like, the whole way this story was told is a bad way to handle the Joker, basically, screws up what's cool about the Joker and what's an interesting villain about the Joker. And
well, I mean, I do understand that
there's
point.
There a lot, and like I said, those have nothing to do with the controversy.
Right.
These are like, what makes Batman cool? What makes the Joker
right,
cool?
Right.
This movie, like, this, fucked all of that
this
up.
This is not a cool Joker by any...
No, and that was one of the final things, is that, like, this Joker also is pretty much a dumbass, and the Joker is sort of famously really intelligent and pretty funny, and this guy was neither.
Well, but Joker's famously that recently. I mean, really, you know, Jack Nicholson introduced that version of the Joker. I mean, the Joker before, I mean...
Well, it's always tricky, because when you say recently, you mean recently in terms of the narratives. But the Joker's backstory, he was like that way earlier.
I mean, he's
well,
kind
and as they
of
point out,
silly.
Apparently in the current DC situation, there's three different Jokers.
Something like that. But, you know, no, this is not a cool Joker, but that doesn't mean it's not an interesting Joker. I mean, to me it was interesting. And what I've said, I said this to my wife. I said,
why she kicked him out and he has to live here now.
I thought it started... it was really interesting in its start, and I thought it kind of lost its way in the middle. And the end was okay, but I thought it got a little choppy in the middle and maybe didn't. But she thought that it was sort of slow and not very compelling at first, and then it got interesting near the end. And every critic I've seen that likes the movie has said that. Nobody seems to think, like I did, that it started out interesting and it kind of lost its way in the middle.
But as is tradition, none of this should be surprising. Your take on things is usually very different, including, maybe especially, the world of Batman.
Well, anyway, I did hear about certain things that, you know, that were controversial, and then I didn't see any of that stuff in the film, but as you've kind of just insinuated by what you just said, it could be I just didn't see it. I don't know.
And again, full disclosure, didn't see the movie. And the only first-hand accounts I have encountered liked it, so.
Well.
And also, again, somebody who had no interest in the movie before any of this shit came up. Had no interest in the movie when they announced they were making it.
Well, I can't. I honestly can't imagine you liking it. I mean, it's very. It's emotionally difficult.
Yeah.
It is. And I know you don't like that kind of thing. Why would you put yourself through that? I mean,
well, yeah, that, and no, and there is the question. I can handle emotionally difficult stuff if there's a reason I'm put through.
That's what I meant. There's no real reason. I mean,
and I pretty much fucking hate Batman, so.
I like Batman stories. I like the Joker. I like Joaquin Phoenix. So
warning, if you're going to go see it, you do fucking have to see the Waynes get murdered again. Jesus Christ on a crutch. You know, somebody has a supercut on YouTube of all the times we've seen the Waynes get the Wayans. You know, Marlon, Keenan Ivory, we got them get gunned down in Gotham City.
It fit in. It was
so many. No, I mean, I understand it. There was definitely a story to play, but it's like, how many? Like, we've seen that more often than we've seen Peter Parker get bit by a spider.
That's true.
And we've seen that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know how Gotham City got its name? I only recently learned this, and it could be completely apocryphal.
My recollection is that they started out with it just being New York.
Well, and that's the thing. Gotham City is an alternate name for New York.
Right.
And it was that before Batman ever
took
it.
That's right. So,
but do you know where that name comes from?
Oh, where New York got it?
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Apparently, there was I don't know if he's a travel writer or just somebody famous who was traveling or whatever. There was a British gentleman who came to New York. Mm-hmm. And apparently, there is a small village, I want to say somewhere in Kent, called Gotham, that sort of had a reputation of being full of idiots. And he thought New York was full of idiots. And he said, it's like Gotham City here.
Didn't know that.
And then, yeah, that's very strange.
Yeah, I knew that the comic book got Gotham City from New York being called that. And from them originally having everything happen in New York. But I didn't know that New York got it.
Might be apocryphal. I
didn't know how New York
got it. I caught this from a British comedian who talked about how he had just recently learned this information. So.
There were a lot of other things that happened, but that's obviously the one that is most interesting to talk about. So what about your 2 weeks?
I think I mostly got to talk. Well, okay, let's get a couple things. One thing out of the way. I did restart Becca James Lowenstein, Queen of the Space Pirates! Exclamation point. It's going very slow. It is being very difficult. I can't figure out if it has to do with the change in writing style or if because I started over, this is like when I go through the second draft, and the second draft is always really hard.
Mm.
But in any event, it's very slow going. But it is happening.
That's good.
It's been an interesting week because we had a local, the group I'm in now at ACT had a conference on education technology and computational psychometrics over the last 2 days. And I didn't attend all of it, but I attended some of it, and it was very interesting. Still reading The Dispossessed. I'm over halfway through. That book is fucking big. Still really good. Holy shit, you should be reading it. Let's not do podcasts anymore. You'll just come over here for an hour and read the book, and I'll just watch you to make sure you do it. Read that fucking book.
It's on my list.
It should be at the top of your list.
I believe it is at the top of my list.
Read it. Okay, good.
Along with a lot of other things.
That's not how lists work.
So where my list to work?
One top. The top.
When I say list, I mean a literal list like in Amazon of books I'm going to buy.
Yes, and there should be one on top.
I don't know if it's on the top.
Then, okay, you're a fucking liar. All right. Anyway, this is not what I want to talk
about.
But
it might be on the top.
Well, if not, move it up there. I saw two movies.
Yeah.
And one play.
Oh, a play. Oh, that's right. You.
Yeah. I want to speak to these. First one. This is the important one. I saw Hustlers.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that one. We haven't seen it yet.
You should.
Oh, good.
Quick backstory for those who don't know. Hustlers is a movie inspired by a true story that mostly came to light because of an article in The New Yorker, I think, that was a story about what actually happened where some strippers in basically right around the housing market collapse. Unsurprisingly, when the financial markets collapse, the strip club suffers. The strip clubs are very recession sensitive. And so some strippers in need of more money came up with a plan where they basically would drug wealthy men such that they wouldn't remember what had happened to them, and they'd take them to the club and get them to spend ridiculous amounts of money and just sort of fleece them. And the next morning they wouldn't really know what happened, and they would have lost money, but it was not so bad that they couldn't deal with it. And what are you going to do? Go to the cops and say, I accidentally spent a bunch of money at a strip club? That doesn't work. So, and some of them that did this and then, you know, hijinks ensue or whatever. And it was most notable for the cast, which was impressive. The main characters were played by Constance Wu and Jennifer Lopez. It also had in it Mercedes Rule, Julia Stiles, Cardi B, Lizzo, for some reason. Just a lot of people in it. And it had none of the main characters were male. And very few of the main characters were white. It sounded like a fun story, honestly. Kind of a little heist movie thing. And definitely, you know, a women screwing over asshole guys kind of thing, which I'm totally fine with or whatever. And it looked fun and, you know, strippers, whatever. And it was very popular and people said it was really good.
Yeah, people
so I was like, cool, I'll go see it. It looks fun.
People said it's good.
Was way more than that. It is, on a certain level, it is absolutely your standard Hollywood movie. On another level, it is unlike any movie I've seen before. This is a movie about strippers. This is a movie that has a lot of stripping in it. This is a movie filmed with no male gaze. I don't really know how they did that. It's kind of amazing. This is a movie that is very, like, feels very real and is very fun and goofy and stuff. It also, quite straightforwardly, is a pretty strong feminist commentary on power dynamics in modern capitalist society. And done really well, and speaks to a lot of things. It was incredibly thought-provoking. I'm still thinking about it, and we were talking about it for days afterwards. It also taught me a lot of interesting, specific logistics about pole dancing, which I found interesting. It also showed that, holy crap, Jennifer Lopez is keeping it together. Holy crap. The closest thing to Omega, there is one scene where she is introduced because she's going up and doing a dance, and the character of Constance Wu is watching her just sort of in awe. So that feels a little bit male gaze because you're supposed to be like, how amazing she is or whatever. And holy crap she is. And that's the thing. Like, it's not, I say it's got a lot of strippers and stripping in it, but there's no male gaze. It's not because it's like dark and depressing or whatever. Like, no, these are sexy looking people doing sexy stuff. It's just not filmed that way. And it's hard to explain. I mean, one of the obvious ones is their face is always in shot, but just like, cause the male gaze to me is such a subliminal thing that I can feel when it's not there and when it is. But like, for a movie that has a lot of attractive women stripping and like not like being forced to strip, like it's not an arousing movie, and it's not like a gross, like it's not a bothersome movie either. There's some sad bits, but nothing. Like, that's not really a thing. Okay, there's one scene that's not comfortable, but it's also a scene that is mostly not shot. Like, it's off-camera kind of stuff. But yeah. But it also is Hollywood story beats, just classic. Like, it's very straightforward. But I highly recommend it. It was a very good movie. It probably helps a lot that it was written and directed by a individual woman. That probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just really impressed. And there's and well written. There are a couple of lines that are just so beautifully. There are a couple of lines. Eventually, cops get involved, and of course, all the cops are men. And there's a couple of lines that they say in it that are just so dripping with self awareness on the movie's part and not on the character's part. That it's brilliant. And it's also a movie with a lot of women who we get very close and are affectionate and care about each other very much, and it's very homoerotic in places. But no, but everybody's straight. Like, it's all just platonic friendships, which, as much as I enjoy watching lesbians be very affectionate, it's really refreshing to see, like, genuine care amongst women. And, you know, this passes the Bechdel test like you wouldn't believe. And like, they really love each other and all that. But there's nothing about... There's no sex aspect to it. And that's nice. So, yeah, I would recommend that. And it's funny because the next night went and saw at Riverside Theater the Chekhov play Uncle Vanya.
Oh.
They've started their season and they were doing Uncle Vanya. And we were going to see it on the weekend, but we were going to go home the weekend before and we got sick. And so then we were going home that weekend. We could do it. Anyway, so I went and saw it. It's, you know, it's an old play.
Yeah.
It's not bringing anything new to the table, really. I mean, nothing about it was like, oh, I never thought of that. I mean, it's, you know. And it's also somebody asked me, like, which one was that? Because they've read Chekhov, and I'm like, it's the one with the sad Russians. Like, I can't even... I don't know how to describe the plot to you. Like, I can give you the initial setup, and then people are sad and Russian a lot. Like, I mean, I don't... But I think it's
Russian
funny.
Russian is so hard.
I think, yeah, they are Russian, like you would not believe. I think it was incredibly well performed, brilliantly. And it's one of those where in a cast of like a dozen people, no weak link. I can't be like, that person was good and this person wasn't. Whole cast was brilliant. At intermission, I realized I was uncomfortably warm and my stomach didn't feel really good. No, sorry, my back didn't feel really good. The chairs weren't that comfortable. I had not noticed during the first half because I was that enthralled. Mm. But once I had time, I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. And then once it started up again, I didn't notice again. And so it was really enjoyable. But I find it hilarious that I went and saw the Hollywood stripper movie that I went to see for fun, and it was incredibly thought-provoking and perspective-shifting. And then I went to see the classic Chekhov play, and it didn't really do anything for my brain, but it was just a darn good time. So that was kind of funny to me. But, yeah, both of those are great. Can't go see Uncle Vanya now. It's gone. But you can still see Hustlers. I recommend it. I definitely recommend it. Pretty much for everybody. Because if you're somebody who would prefer it with the male gaze, you'll still have fun. It won't be your favorite movie. But it's just a fun movie, too. But I thought it was really good. Constance Wu has terrible bangs in it, and I was just frozen watching that the whole time. She looks so bad with bangs. Like, most of the movie, she has them. It's weird. Also, last night, saw a movie Trish picked out called Locke. Locke.
Okay.
It's listed as a thriller. I don't think that's accurate. I'd say drama is better. Its thing, its shtick, as it were. The entire movie, like, with the exception of an initial silent 30 seconds in the very beginning, the entire movie is one guy driving in his car, calling people on the phone and people calling him on the phone. In his car.
That's the whole thing, huh?
The whole thing. It is a gentleman who is driving at night from, I forget what town in England, to London.
And is his name Locke? Or?
Yes, his last name is Locke. And he is, I mean, I guess spoiler for the first couple of minutes, he's calling the woman who is having a baby in London, his baby, and he is headed that way. And he's going to get there. You know, he's driving. He had to get, but he'll be there for the birth of the baby. She's been admitted. That's where he's going. You then discover there is a lot more going on here. And a lot of different things happening, and things happening with him and his reasons for things, and it all gets very complicated, and complicated for the viewer and complicated for him, and it's interesting.
Is it?
I think it's a very good movie. Now, We were discussing this earlier. So, I come to you, the studio exec or whatever, and I say, I have this movie I want to make.
Yeah.
It's just a dude in a car talking to people on the phone the whole time.
Yeah, that'd be a tough sell for sure.
Yeah. And you say, why the fuck would I make that? And I say to you, well, the dude in the car, Tom Hardy. Also, I've got Olivia Colman and Tom Holland attached. And then you're like, this movie costs what? The price of gas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not? Because that's the thing. Olivia Colman, Tom Holland, and other cool people, but those are the two names I really know, are in the cast, are the people on the phone. And what I really found interesting, what we found out after the fact, it's not pre-recorded on the phone. They are in the whole rest of the cast is in a conference room. And they are actually talking to him on the phone because they wanted the realistic sound of like the car noises and stuff while he was talking with them.
Hmm.
And it's just very interesting. Tom Hardy has the Welshiest Welsh accent I've heard in my life. It was like a hair's breadth away from sounding Indian. Like, it was so Welsh. Yeah, if you take a Welsh accent and just adjust the stresses and the rhythm of it, it becomes Indian really fast. It's very odd. But, yeah, super Welshy accent, which is especially noticed. I think he did fine with it, but it's Tom Hardy. I know what Tom Hardy sounds like. So this was just really weird for me. But, like, Olivia Colman, I was like, I think that's Olivia Colman I hear on it. And I looked it up, and it was. And I wouldn't have known Tom Holland at all, because I only know him sounding like Spider-Man. But when I was looking up her, I was like, oh, and Tom Holland is one of the kids. And, yeah. But very interesting movie. I would recommend that one as well. It's not life-changing or anything. It's a fun indie movie. It's like an interesting filmmaking experiment that I think was successful. And it's also... How do I put this? The whole movie is about morality. What he's doing, what he's not doing, how he's choosing his priorities, what is happening in the process of how he's choosing what he's doing, what that means for himself and other people, what he can control and can't control, and basically, you know, you're left with nothing but questions. Like, you could spend days and everybody would have a different opinion about what kind of man this is. And if what he's doing is the right thing or the wrong thing, or if there is such a thing. And I think it's very effective for that, because I'm still, there's layers to it. I'm like, well, clearly he shouldn't have blah, but given his options, that compared to this, but then also he didn't take into account how that would impact other people and like, and lots of things. And like, there's clearly a line of sort of mental illness involved, because clearly like he had expectations that I'm like, that those would not be realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's you learn eventually that there's part of his behavior is dealing with unresolved issues from his past and how he was treated and how he wants to treat people and things like that. And I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's just it's largely a character study in him and his life unraveling over the course of like an hour and a half. And it's just very interesting. It's on Netflix, so people can go nuts. I love that we're in an era now where it's just like, everybody has Netflix. So if it's on Netflix, everybody can see it. But the thing is, it holds true. People I know that only have one streaming service, it's Netflix.
Yeah.
I do know a couple of people that have zero, but that's it. Everybody else, if they have only one, it's Netflix. And if they have more than one of them is Netflix. I don't know anybody who doesn't have Netflix, but like has Hulu. Or something like that. You're a little weird in that y'all don't have Amazon. Well, and most people, if they have two, have Netflix and Amazon.
We do have Amazon right now.
Oh, yeah, temporarily.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll keep it.
Do you watch Carnival Row?
We did watch the first episode of it.
And it was not interesting enough to watch the second episode?
Well, there have been competing things like...
William, why don't you watch the second episode? Sorry, guys, I have a little foam rubber mouth.
I think like American Horror Story came up.
And oh yeah.
Like that. So we watched that. The apocalypse season of American Horror Story. It wasn't very good.
You also might not end up liking Carnival Row much. A lot of people didn't, but I did. Anyway, draw a thing, or we're going to be out of time here.
Jazz says, Jazz. Dear Hatlings, do you think recent evidence has made the idea that UFOs are alien visitors more credible?
She didn't even say or less, just more credible.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I believe at the time...
I have no memory of this. They erased it, my memory.
No, we did talk about it, and I think at the time I said, when I looked at UFO reports, the vast majority of them seem either patently absurd, or if not patently absurd, like there's no way to know if this really happened or didn't happen. And you get it whittled down, and there's just a tiny, tiny group of events that are, you know, where there was an actual radar hit, you know, where a credible witness got a visual or whatever. And those are interesting things. Or I've always thought they're interesting. I don't know what they prove or don't prove, but I thought they were interesting. Now, what we have now, the new stuff, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen?
I haven't. Here's what I know. Not long ago, we finally got declassified the stuff that happened at Roswell. And the government, I don't remember what it is, but the government was testing some shit that had nothing to do with UFOs.
Yeah.
And that's why they kept it quiet. Now, of course, this is the government telling us, so maybe that's what they want us to think. But, and then I do now know everybody's fucking obsessed with Area 51, but I cannot bring myself to give a shit why.
So now they have like the actual sensor footage from the aircraft. A lot of the people who are flying those aircraft and who gathered that sensor data are talking themselves.
Okay.
And the military, specifically the Navy, has said, yes, this is real footage. These are real guys, and they're telling the real truth. This is something that really happened, and we don't know what these objects are.
And that's the key point. Am I willing to believe shit has happened that the military doesn't know what it was? Yes. Such a big jump from that to is alien visitors.
And that's my opinion also. I mean,
and like so many possible more logical explanations, including ones that are probably outside of my, I probably couldn't come up with them, but even then they were still more logical than alien.
To me, the new data that we have, and it's very interesting and compelling, it still isn't any different to me than the stuff, like I said, before. There's so much of it you can just sort of exclude. There are some things that are like, that are from, you know, credible witnesses. And like I said, there's like radar hits and things like that. Those things are interesting. But none of them up to now suggested extraterrestrials. I mean, it could be anything, and we just don't know what it is. Now, this evidence is different, is qualitatively different. I mean, you're looking at the scopes, you're looking at this thing move, you're looking at them switch to things like infrared, where if this thing was operating under ordinary propulsion, we'd see a plume and of exhaust and things like that. All that's interesting and all of it's compelling, but ultimately not really more compelling or interesting than the stuff we've had before. To me, in terms of, I still don't see why we leap to extraterrestrials. I mean, for one thing, our own government could be making these things and testing them and just telling us they're not. Some other government could be making these things. Now, one argument I heard from one of the pilots who was actually flying one of these things that they have this footage from, he says that all of the modes of propulsion that he can think of that might be being used here would have tremendous implications for all kinds of aspects of human life. And it's hard to imagine that someone would have this method or mode of propulsion, and they wouldn't be using it for, like, energy. But we know that, you know, just about every country that we're concerned with that has the resources to maybe develop some advanced flying machine is struggling with having enough energy. Why would they be struggling with that if they had this advanced technology?
Well, and I'll throw this one at you, which is going to throw some people off here. But from my mind, and I'm going to describe something that may very well be impossible, and in fact is likely to be impossible for just so many reasons, but I still think is infinitely more likely than alien invaders. It could be fucking humans who in the future invented time travel and are coming back with their high tech, which, again, time travel, the theoreticals on it are insane, and it may not even be possible. But the problems, I don't believe in what we would call intelligent alien life visiting Earth ever, for just a lot of reasons.
Well,
the concept of life as we know it, like what it takes to build life as we currently define it, is incredibly narrow and complex and difficult. We don't even know if it could happen anywhere else. It is possible other things could create life, but let's just assume it did somewhere else. Evolutionarily speaking, all the aspects of what we would call sentience or sapience are not some sort of end result in living evolution. They are particular niches in order to survive, and there is no reason to say that others would take that evolutionary path. So basic concepts like what we would consider intelligence, what we would consider symbolic thinking, what we would consider communication, there is no reason that any alien life would necessarily achieve those, and therefore would have no reason to go exploring or shit like that. And on top of all of that, the sheer volume of space means even if there were what we would consider sentient aliens out there, the odds of them finding us, coming to us, and sneakily doing things with us, like, is just so, I mean, pardon the pun, but astronomically small. Like, it's not, it's like believing in ghosts to me. Like, it's not, it can't happen.
I'm with you on all of that. Plus, the fact of the matter is, most of the theories for traveling, you know, quickly in space,
yes,
are every bit as fantastical and unlikely as time,
yes,
travel,
yes,
is.
Yes, yes, yes.
For one.
And it's...
And also, a lot of times when people... A lot of the arguments for saying that these are extraterrestrial are based on nothing. Based on only that you don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is, therefore
so
it's from
somewhere
else. So
you immediately jump to that conclusion. Then...
But also that's extraterrestrial and intelligent. I'm way more willing to believe, oh, it was a meteor or some shit. Like, I could do that too if you want. I mean,
another problem is that, like, there's one guy who claims that he saw UFOs in the interiors of them, and they had, like, seats and everything. It clearly made for bipedal organisms, and these aliens just happen to be bipedal organisms like us and have seats they sit in just
no,
like us.
No, and that I just attached to the same places people have seen ghosts or seen heaven or talked to God. I'm like, no, you're either a liar or your brain did something. Like, I don't believe in the supernatural. I also don't believe in this.
It's far more easy to believe that, first of all, we know that government programs compartmentalize and lots of people don't know what the other person's doing. We know that happens. It's easier to believe that's what's going on. Another thing,
we know sensors malfunction. We know eyewitness testimony is incredibly unreliable.
Yeah, that's another thing that really bothers me is when someone says, well, this is a trained pilot, and if he says an object is 2 miles away... No,
nope.
That's all based on knowing what the size of the object is to begin with. The sensors were not picking up distance and size information because whatever the thing was jamming it. Now, that's another thing they think is pretty amazing that it could do that, but not extraterrestrial amazing. So I don't know what these things are, but you're right to treat it like a paranormal phenomena. If you're going to make a huge claim, you've got to have good evidence, and you don't. All you have is a thing and you don't know what it is. That's not evidence.
Which I'm totally fine with. We don't know. And I'm totally fine with doing things to try and, on an evidentiary basis, figure out what it is. But at this point, you're like, oh no, it was He-Man farting his way through the stratosphere. Is as likely. You're just making shit up.
All of that said, I am fascinated by all of this, and I do want to know what these things are.
This bugs me. I don't know. You get this with ghosts, but you really get it with the extraterrestrial stuff. Is my evidence for why it is this way is I don't know what it does. That's, you picked a very specific thing for that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I don't know that I don't think aliens did.
Yeah. Yeah, but I am very curious about what these things are, about where they're from.
I am not.
Well,
if it turns out to be something cool, tell me.
Because they're there. It is, unlike ghosts, you know, we don't really have any evidence that ghosts exist. But these are things that are out there. I have no reason to think that they're extraterrestrial.
Maybe ghosts did them.
And I have a lot of reasons to think they're not. I mean, like all of the stuff you said about aliens and how they might take an evolutionary path, and also, you know, what types of propulsion are theoretically available, it just doesn't add up. It makes more sense that it's something that some government somewhere is making. Now, again, the statement on the part of these people is that they think it must be some kind of gravitonic propulsion or something, and if it was that, there would be all kinds of other things happening, but I don't see how it has to be that, because these objects are evading a lot of sensors, so you're guessing. You're guessing about how it gets around. You're guessing about how it flies. And it might be a type of propulsion that actually isn't gravitonic or anything like that. And so it doesn't have any benefit for anything else but a propulsion system for flying vehicles.
Maybe it's ghosts. But I just had a Popeye's chicken burp, which means we are out of time. In fact, we're over time. Because I had to burp a little bit ago.
But I am interested in them. I do know what they are.
All right. So if you know about aliens, tell William at the blog, themagicaldoghead.com.
No, not aliens.
Ghosts. Sorry.
No, not ghosts.
Gravitronic.
Alternate modes of propulsion.
Autobots.
Sensible ones.
Sentient Autobots.
That humans came up with, not aliens.
Gravitic, Sanskrit, Gnostics.
I mean, it's like
of Mars.
It's like the pyramids. People say, "Oh, you've got pyramids all over the world. How, you know, those cultures didn't have contact with one another. Why did they all build pyramids?"
Because building cubes is hard.
No, because the reason.
No, it's because building cubes is hard, dude. If you put a layer down of something, it is way harder to keep putting the same layer. It's much easier if you just keep going
smaller.
More
specifically, without steel, there's only one way to build large structures.
Yes, especially if you want to store grain in them.
And that's pyramids.
Like Ben Carson has told us all. we should save this for the Halloween one, which is coming next. So listen next week. I don't know what's going to happen. But 3 weeks from now, listen to what we're about to record.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.